Hey, what's up, YouTube? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Exit Inn with the dudes from Power Trip today. I'm very, very excited. This is Blake Ibanez, right? Is that
how
you pronounce
it? Yeah.
Okay, cool. Ibanez. Love it. Right on. I'm excited to do this. I'm actually a huge Power Trip fan. If you guys haven't heard them, it's all the best things of thrash and hardcore all smashed together, and I can't get enough of it. So let's start. Let's talk about guitars, man. This thing looks scary to play next to you on stage.
Yeah, this is a RR1. Don't know what year it is. I got it used because it's a pretty expensive guitar. But I just kind of one day was like, I better get the best kind of the best model of the guitar I play, because once you play like ones that aren't as great or whatever, then you realize that you want to sound the best you can.
Totally.
So it's pretty obvious.
And you're doing a lot of trem work. Like, you're bending the shit out of the string, so you're going to need something that's going to stay put for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just made really well. It's custom RR1. It's just got like a really nice fretboard. I think it's ebony, and then Floyd Rose, which I've always used. It's kind of all I know how to use. But yeah, it's just made really well. It sounds great. And these guitars, at least in my experience, the cheaper ones tend to, they don't have quite as much body just when they're like have a smaller shape like this, mm-hmm. at least in my experience. And this one, it's just made really well. It's a little heavier, so it's got a lot of girth, what I mean? So it's
probably got a more substantial piece of wood.
Yeah, you feel it. You feel a lot more. It's a lot bigger, it has a more presence. To me at least. So, but yeah, I love it. It's a little beat up, it's been on the road a lot, been used a lot, so, but it's hanging in there.
And rocking the Lace sensors, huh?
Yeah, this is a company that we actually all use, Lace pickups, and they're great. They kind of approached us a while back, and I didn't know a lot about pickups. I still don't really know a lot about pickups, but these drop-in gains that me and Nick have both been using for a long time are just, they sound really good. I think the big difference was that they don't use batteries, So
right.
We were always, before that we were using active pickups that used batteries, and it was just annoying to have to change them and stuff. And, we got these and they sound great and they don't use batteries or anything. They're passive and they just, they're really sharp, really clear. And the stuff we do at this point is like, the less mud and the less stuff around the tone or whatever is better,
Sure.
Everything sounds
better
that way.
You need kind of a precision.
Yeah, it's got to cut through, and especially with everything we do a lot of stuff on single strings, so the low E, we're just kind of chugging on that a lot, so you want that to be as tight as possible, so. Yeah, they're great. They sound awesome.
Speaking of low E, I absolutely love that you guys follow the thrash tradition of tuning in standard.
Yeah.
Is that something you've always done, or you just didn't want to deviate
kind
from
of that? Yeah, I mean, we started doing it on when we put out our demo, we were always doing that, and then we went down to E flat for I think our first EP. We did that in E flat and then just decided to come back up, and then ever since then we've been in E. And people ask us all the time because they just can't figure it out, people will be playing our songs like
In
videos, and they're just kind of like always going back to the second fret, because they just can't we play in E just to set the record straight. Yeah. So I like the feeling of playing in standard tuning. I mean, it's not as easy to write riffs in because when you're tuned lower, I think everything sounds a little heavier. What I mean? But I think that's maybe one thing that sets us apart. Not that we were the first band to play in
of
E
course,
standard,
right.
but not a lot of people do anymore. For that reason, but I think you can be really heavy and
totally. That's what
in
I was
standard tuning.
Getting at. Like I've had, fights with my friends. It's like tuning to me doesn't denote heavy.
Right.
It's a rhythm part. For me at least, I don't know, because
exactly.
I'm an old hardcore kid, so
yeah.
The rhythm for me is more important. But so E standard, but what gauges are you running on there?
Oh yeah, so we play 942s. These are Ernie Ball super slinkies, and we played on 10s for a while, just because that was, didn't know to go lighter. And then at some point, I had known about, 9 gauge strings. I knew some people that played on them. And then I met, some older guys from different bands, one guy, this guy Mike Dijon from Breakdown, mm-hmm. and stuff, old hardcore bands. He was like really telling me to to go to Nines. And then, you know, the more research I did, all the bands that we like and listen to, the old 80s bands and stuff, pretty much all played with light strings, especially this kind of stuff we do, the sure. riffs and everything. So we switched to Nines, and ever since then, I can't see myself going back. Now. Once you play 10s now, and it's like, whoa, and then some guys play like 13s, you know, so.
Yeah, but they can't be bending like you are.
Yeah,
like, you're wailing on that
yeah,
thing.
Now, yeah, especially when you play, like a lot of the guys, you know, like Gary and Exodus and guys that we've met like recently, they play like, they might have a heavier gauge low because mm-hmm. they're in like a D standard or something, and then their high strings will be light. So totally. They'll have like, you know.
You bend on the high strings.
Yeah, like I think like a 1052 or something. So yeah, I mean, Nines are just, they're a lot faster, and especially with the single string stuff and the tight, if you want it to sound as tight as possible, like Nines
that
are,
zip.
They sound really tight. Yeah. But all that being said, it also makes you play a little better because when they're that small, you gotta really kind of be precise or it's just gonna sound messy.
Yeah, I guess you do have to kind of focus more on your hands,
right.
like in placement and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's a beautiful guitar, man. And you got a backup that's almost identical, right?
Yeah, it's similar. This is an RRMG, I believe. It's a Pro Series Jackson. It's got the lace pickups in it, too. I put those in. And yeah, this is a great guitar. Jackson were kind enough to give me this guitar, and because I only play Jackson. And it's great. It's just a really nice guitar. It's really well made. It's pretty, you know.
Yeah.
Hasn't gotten beat up yet, thankfully. But
it almost has like a Jetsons vibe.
Yeah,
to it.
It's cool. I just was like looking at the different ones, and I was like, this one looks interesting. And I love this pick guard. I like having that.
It's
and,
anodized or something. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. And I like how the pickups are kind of exposed. But it's a great guitar. I play it at home. I play it on the road sometimes. I mean, this is kind of my number one, but this is my backup. It's not a bad one to have. So sometimes if I don't feel like restringing this, I'll just play this one or
sure.
something. But yeah, it sounds great. It's really well made. It's a little different. It's got a different material on the neck. Oops. But yeah, it's great. So this is my other one.
Right on, right on.
Yeah.
And you're running those bad boys through this 800 here, huh?
Yep. Yeah, this is a
quintessential metal amp.
Yeah, this is a 1986 2203 GSM-800, and yeah, I mean, it's at this point, it's kind of the only amp I'll play because
right.
it's just it's very simple. Not only is it like legendary, like classic amp, but it just it's huge sounding. It's loud as
all get
hell.
Out.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Is.
It's like I play it on like two every night. So it's really loud, but it's just a great tone. And I actually got an effects loop added to it because they didn't have those on the old ones. Because I run some stuff through the effects loop, but it just sounds good. Like I was telling you earlier, like I don't have to use a noise suppressor because everything coming through that is it doesn't have a lot of gain on it. You know what I mean? It just has a preamp, so it's like there's no gain knobs or anything. So you don't have to deal with anything. You don't have to control anything. It's pretty clean as it is. And then you can just, you know, throw a tube screamer or whatever on it. And then combined with like some pickups that are quiet, like these lace dropping gains, it's just not noisy.
Yeah.
So, but it just depends on how you run it. You know, if you max out your tube screamer or whatever, then you're probably
gonna
have to, but
totally.
We don't use, I think compared to a lot of metal bands, we don't use that much gain. It's like, I mean, I think on that scale.
Yeah, I would consider your tone a little more traditional metal than
yeah,
modern.
Like, I mean, yeah. it's, you know, but to keep it clean and, you know what I mean, to kind of keep it tight, you can't do too much. And I don't know, yeah, just with this amp, it also kind of teaches you to play better because it's unforgiving, you know.
Sure.
You'll ask anybody that plays them and, you know, sometimes when you don't feel like trying, it's kind of annoying, but it makes you a better player. When you're on, you're on, you know what I mean?
Totally.
It sounds really good, so.
Yeah, you can't really cover up too much with all the gain.
Yeah, at this point, yeah, we don't like to cover anything up at this point because we're just trying to, you know, when you play really well on an amp like this, it sounds really good.
It's cool.
You used to play badly, it sounds bad,
yeah.
But it keeps you honest, you know. So.
And then, did you get that cab with the head?
I got them at different times. This is
900. Lead.
900. Yeah, it's just I just like Marshall. It's what I've always kind of played, and I love them. But I like all kinds of
sure
cabs and stuff. He's got a Mesa over there, but yeah, this is kind of what I've always played. I've always had the cab. I got this like I think maybe 2-3 years ago, and played some different Marshalls before that, but pretty much always Marshall or something like that. So, yeah.
Do you know what speakers are in that?
I don't. I'm not very I'm not very well versed in all that, but they sound good.
It's been a long time
that.
Since I had one.
Yeah.
I think mine had vintage 30s or something
in there.
Yeah,
something like that,
yeah.
You know.
Cool. Well, right on, man. I guess that takes us to Pedaland, which is...
Okay.
Chris and I, we're talking. I was explaining to Chris that, like, I don't suspect them to have too many pedals.
We don't. Yeah. We don't have a lot. We have some, but there's a story to tell with some of them. So.
Well, dude, I'm excited to hear the stories about these pedals, but first, can I hear just the amp?
Yep.
Straight amp? Pickups really are quiet. Like when you're done, you're done. That's
quiet,
crazy.
And then they're, you know.
So, I mean, that's actually hella gain. So, are you using the Tube Screamer just for solos?
Yeah, I mean, no, I use that. That's on all the time. So, I mean, that's just, that's the sound. It's just the 800. I got the preamp cranked. So, you know, some mids. I actually have my mids a little higher lately, just to have that extra presence or whatever. Yeah. Bass kind of on like 5/6, presence on like 7/8. Not too much trouble, like 6 or 7 on that. And then, yeah, it's just a Tube Screamer, you know?
Yeah.
Just that with the drive on like 6, everything on 6. And it's enough for us, you know?
Yeah.
Some people might need more than that, but for us, it's perfect. So.
Works out.
Yeah.
All right, so what else we got over here? Obviously, you got a Polytune.
Yeah, I got the Polytune, you know, cool tuner. It's really accurate. Next, this is the Line 6 G70. It's like our wireless system. And we all got them at the same time. They've been pretty great. I haven't had any issues with them. We just have like a pack, and you just it tells you how much battery life you have left in your pack. And
I mean, it's been a long time since I played with a wireless unit, and I noticed when I was a kid and I had wireless, it kind of sucked the signal away a little bit. Do you notice that with that?
No, I was always kind of like didn't want to get one because one, you just, you know, if you're not at a certain, I guess, level, you know, like if you're not a touring, like you have a wireless, you just look kind of like really, you know. At some point, it just became like efficient for us to have them because, you know, we're like loading in, loading out really quickly, running off stage, running on stage. So
yeah, this is compact. You could just
just decided we were like, fine, we'll get them, and we got a good deal on them, and they're supposed to be like the best rated ones, I guess, that you can kind of buy now, you know. That's not like a rack mount unit.
I've actually heard great stuff about them.
They've been good. We've all loved them, so I haven't noticed any tone sucking or anything like that. So
cool.
We've been pretty happy with those. This is my delay pedal, which I use for all my leads. It's a old Ibanez DE7, and it's like a delay echo pedal. And I don't really know a lot about them. Basically, our producer / good friend, also fill-in Arthur Rizik, the guy that recorded our records. He's like, you know, a big guitar guy, and he collects pedals and stuff. And he actually turned me on to this. Because I had been trying to find like a lead pedal to, you know, for my solos. Because I, you know, a lot of the reverbs and the delays you'll find that you run through a chain are kind of noisy and abrasive, you know. And this is more of like a, well, I don't know how it would sound in the chain. I always run it through the effects loop, and that's why I got the amp modded. But it just has that kind of 80s, you know, it's kind of like a cavernous, like 80s delay. It's just cool. So,
yeah. Well, kick it on.
Yeah, I was, you know. It's trying to mess with reverbs, and then that gets really messy. So you really just need the delay, but. So.
Man, squealing horsies, man. I love it.
His hands are cold, but it's a great pedal. I don't know. I'm sure there's others out there that are good, but this is just the one that was shown to me. So that's what I've gone with. But it sounds good, and it's cheap. I think you can get them on eBay for like 60, bucks. 70 bucks. I think when I got this one, it was a few years ago, it was like 40 bucks. Maybe they're a little boutique now. But I love that pedal. And then this is just a loop station, which has like, you can program a bunch of samples and delays like that you can
are you doing the opening to the record?
We have a lot of like sounds on our record that like our, you know, producer helped make and stuff like that, like transitions and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll play like our intro on that, and you can just you can record them straight from like a auxiliary input. So I just recorded them all onto there, and you know, you can loop station, so you can create your own sounds and loop them and stuff like that too. But I just have all our stuff programmed in there, so I just kind of throughout the set I'll turn it on and turn it off, and It's nice because it just runs straight into the house, and then we can play them all like that.
Oh, so. You just go right to the front of the
house?
Yeah,
right? Rather than like having to give them like an iPod or something.
Yeah,
so.
Totally.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Well, man,
for
that's
me.
Pretty lean and mean, but it does the trick. It sounds
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. We don't have a lot of crazy stuff. I used a wah at times, but that's not really our thing anymore.
Yeah,
so
I get
that's pretty much it.
Well, dude,
yeah.
Lean and mean. I love it.
Yeah,
we'll talk
sure.
to the rest of the guys in the band.
Cool.
So excited for the show.
Thanks.
Right on. All right, now we're on the other side of the stage over here with Chris Wetzel. Chris, my homie, what's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
First and foremost, we got to talk about these Donables because they're radical.
Yeah, man. Love them.
Man, those are awesome.
Yeah, Sacha's been great. This was the first one he built for me. They're both loaded with Lace pickups. It's a Donable R2 is the name of it.
It's a cool looking pickup.
Yeah, chrome. Got a little bling on there. Yeah.
For those of you guys that aren't super familiar with Donable, Sacha plays in Intronaut, which is an awesome band, and makes guitars. And he actually just won a Premier Gear Award from our magazine because the Cyclops was such a good build, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah,
and
that
these
guitar
look
is
awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's kind of a funny story. I had a P-Bass. We had an incident where some stuff fell out of the back of the trailer. Lost some guitars, and I had a 75 Ibanez Challenger. It was a really cool guitar, bass guitar. And it was this kind of like old cream color with mint pickguard. So I hit up Sacha.
That's cool.
Yeah, I hit up Sacha last minute before tour and was like, dude, I need another bass. And he replaced that bass. So yeah.
That thing's lean and mean. God, I love the knobs that he uses too. It's so,
yeah, they're great,
so
man.
Rad. Cool, and this is pretty much an identical backup, right?
Pretty much the same thing. It also, just a Lace Aluma P's is what they're called. Really good, really nice pickups. Got a little bit of a grit to them. But other than that, pretty much the same. I mean, same guitar, same bass.
Yeah.
A little heavier.
One thing I love about this Donable too is that like, even though the shape is offset, it's not top heavy.
Right,
it feels so balanced.
Oh, I will say, this was a 34-inch scale, and then he switched it to a 35-inch scale.
Oh, really?
On some of his new ones. So
does that throw
that's
you
the
off
only,
hardly
no,
all, huh?
No, I was fine. It was no problem.
Yeah. And those are gorgeous, and I love this color, man. It's so smoky. I dig it.
Yeah, he kills it, man. He's great.
He does a really good job.
Absolutely.
And otherwise, you're running pretty mean and lean, SVT
yeah,
7
it's
Pro.
Yeah, pretty simple. Yeah, 7 Pro, just because it's rack mountable and it's easy. It gives me enough power. Sonic Maximizer.
The 482, not the pedal.
yeah. It really adds some beef to the tone.
Man, how are you running that? Yeah, you got that.
Through my effects loop.
Cool.
And then, I mean, I've got them 7.
Yeah,
I've got them cranked.
That's cool.
Aside from that, I run a 610. It seems to have a little bit tighter sound.
Hmm.
It's a little... You know, a little, it's not so open. Like an 810 has that really open
woofy
scent.
Kind of
yeah,
thing, yeah,
exactly.
Another thing is those things are a lot easier to take around.
It is, yeah, it's it's considerably smaller.
That's cool.
Yeah, pretty simple. I run a Tube Screamer.
Oh, a little mini guy.
Little mini Tube Screamer. Cliff Burton ran one, and it's kind of like, I just needed a little.
Was that staying on pretty much all the time?
Yeah. I ran Clean Tone for a few years, but I just need a little grit. It kind of cuts through with the guitars.
Exactly. Up a little bit. And then the bass pre, are you leaving that on pretty much all the time?
Yeah, I just leave that on once again. Sans Amp went with the other guitars when they fell out of the back of the trailer in our incident.
Yeah.
And at the time, I just needed a quick replacement and went with that little MXR bass preamp.
Cool.
And it's doing the job. So
you also running the Relay?
Yeah, we picked those up earlier this year, and we've taken them on three tours now, and they've done us well. They've been good.
Man, I love it. Lean and mean.
Yeah,
it's pretty much all there is to
pretty
it.
Pretty simple.
Huh?
Yeah, I gotta say the guitars are, you know, the bite in my rig. It's my shit.
Yeah, man, they're beautiful. I love how just ridiculous they look, too. They're sort of space age looking or something, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sasha's always coming up with some cool shapes. Well, dang, dude, I guess we'll get out of here. But I'm so excited for tonight. I'm really hoping you play Crucifixation because I can barely keep my car on the road when that breakdown hits, man. It's like one of my favorite things in the world. So.
Good deal.
Cool. All right.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Yeah. All right, now we're all the way stage left with Mountain of a Man. Nick, what is up, dude?
What's up, man?
How's
it going?
Are you, man?
Good, man.
Great to see you. Great to see you. Also, running pretty mean and lean, except for your rig is a little bit different here.
Yeah,
I'd say the main difference is probably, since I'm playing rhythm guitar the whole time, I'd say I use a little more mids. I think Blake's tone's a little brighter since he's playing leads more. So I like to kind of beef it up in the mm-hmm. background, you know, kind of mix that together. So obviously it's just a different amp.
Yeah, that Richie Blackmore is sick.
Yeah, so funny thing about this, I didn't have a clue really about Engel amps. I bought this because I heard it that the two-channel amp sounded good, but this is the only two-channel amp I saw at the time. So I had never played one, and I just bought it.
And you just bought it?
I just bought it.
You didn't even play it?
Yeah, I played a 5150 forever.
Yeah, I get
that. Because
it
was just like, you know, you play those when you're, you know, it's like kind of a go-to.
I've bought and sold probably three of them and wish I didn't every time.
I still have
just
one.
Them, that's
yeah,
cool, that's
I don't
cool.
play it, but I mean, it's like it's if something were to happen, I could use it, you know. But yeah, I picked this up and actually, I wasn't the first person that played this amp. It was Spike from DRI.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Dirty Rock.
So.
Wow, that seems like a higher gain amp than they'd be going for almost.
Yeah, I think he was just using it for the night or something like that. But
So did you buy it online or something?
I bought it on eBay. Kind of shot in the dark kind of thing.
Got lucky.
And now I'm just like, I kind of feel like it's just the tone that I have now, and I've kind of used to it. And
Are you also recording with it?
We recorded with it. Cool. Yeah, we recorded some things with it and the 800, but
I bet together those sounds.
Really nice, it's pretty cool. But there's not much to it. It's a two-channel amp. I play on the
lead channel.
Lead channel. It's pretty straightforward. I basically have a master gain and then like the lead channel I keep up.
Oh, it's got a presence like a 5152. I like
that. Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah. It's very similar. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right on.
So the main thing is like I kind of maybe have my bass a little more, maybe a little more mids. No clean at all.
No, you're
I
never
don't
using
use that.
Clean, right?
No.
What's that for?
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, that rolls. And is this like an inline buffer or something up here? What do we got?
Oh, yeah. So, sorry. This is a master volume. That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Oh, that's cool.
This thing, I had it biased when I had the tubes replaced recently. And my guy's really good, but he biased it really hot. So it's so
too
fucking
hot.
Loud. If I can't cuss, I'm sorry.
No, you can.
It's so loud that I can't run it on stage volume without this master volume.
Oh, wow.
So
you got to attenuate it down a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
So this is a JHS little black box. Yeah, thank you, JHS.
Yeah.
For,
that's a handy-dandy tool there.
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of subtle. It chills back there.
Yeah.
But, I just use that. I keep the volume up high on here, like at 5, almost a little under 5.
And then you're really dialing it with the
master. And then I dial it in with this because I used to have to crank it low down to, like, 1 or 2. And one time we were outside playing a show, and the guy was like, I can't even put you in the system because it's too loud.
It's too loud.
So that was the end of that.
Yeah, and that's way smaller than like a Marshall Power Break or something like that.
Yeah, it's super, no one even notices it.
Yeah,
very discreet. It kind of just stays back there. But
and then obviously that's running 6L6s, right?
Yeah, oh no. Actually, I think these are EL34s.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's a little different. But my first time to ever play these. But I've been playing this thing for a while, so.
You know, some of the newer, I don't know if they're called 5150s anymore, but the EVH versions you can get 6L6s or EL34s,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I have 6L6s in the 5150. Yeah,
sure.
Of course, like the standard ones, but it still uses 12 AX7 preamp tubes, so that's the same as the
sure.
you know, PV amps or whatever, but.
Yeah, I heard your sound check, and it sounded gnarly.
Yeah,
very,
thanks.
Very great tone.
It's pretty, I don't know, man, there's something about this amp. I just got lucky on it. So now I'm trying to get another one.
For a backup?
No, so we came out with an artist series recently. I think it's just kind of a more beefed up version. Don't quote me on this, but I haven't played one yet. Mm-hmm. But what I've read about is it's kind of a more beefed up version of the Blackmore. So it's the same style, it's a two channel. So I'm working on trying to get one of those right now. Engel,
what's up with that? The rules. And then you're running into this Mesa.
Yeah, so it's standard Mesa Boogie 412.
Vintage
30s, man.
Cool. Great speaker for heavy music, man.
Yeah, so I have a Mesa as well, just like Blake. A Marshall, just like Blake. Just the lead 1960 cab. I got one of these, and I felt like it was a little, for me, it had a more of a little, kind of more mid-range to it.
I was going
to
say I have both, and I've had both. I still have a Mesa cab, and mm-hmm. it definitely has like, more of a mid bump than the
a little more mid range,
yeah,
and I think
warmer.
I think I love the Marshalls. They sound amazing. I have one. But I think for what we're doing.
Sure, he's got one.
He's got one. I kind of want to make it a little bit different, yeah. Kind of like blend the rhythm in better with the leads. So I think that it, for me, what we're doing, this works better.
Yeah. And then really the only effect you're running is that little tube screamer, huh?
Something about me, this is what it is right here, guys. Nothing
right
special.
To the point.
Straight to the point. I have
a decimator
pedal. I just put it about 500.
Leave it on.
I don't mess with anything.
You don't feel like it sucks your tone?
No. Actually, I really like these. I had the old Boss, like
NS2 or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah. Not a fan of those. They definitely suck your tone for sure.
It's funny, I've seen more decimators for as far as like,
I think for a noise gate, I don't know what's better out there, to be honest. I mean, the rack mounts are apparently like the mecca of them all. But for a noise gate, it's definitely solid. We all use the same tuners.
Smart.
It seems like as the years go by, a company comes out with a better one and then the next company comes out with one. So we started with like Boss and then, they're I like them because of the polytune feature, the actually being able to strum all six strings and it'll
see if
you're in tune.
That's killer. Also, it's pretty visible. I love that you can see that bad boy.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. This tube screamer here, I only use if we play like 800s out of town or if like we have to rent a rig or something.
So if you're in Europe or something like that, you
can
take
Europe,
that board.
I use the same thing he does. I just use the TS-9 Mini. And
just hit the front of the amp a little bit.
And it's just like, I just kind of crank it on the JCM 800 and then just put a little more into it with this. But I don't even, you guys can just pretty much blur this out completely. I don't
it's
even.
It's just not on right now.
That's not a real thing, really. So, and then I just run a G70 Line 6 like everybody else. They've been very reliable so far.
I've heard great things about them.
And I've got no complaints. So that's, pretty straightforward rig.
And then you're touring with this Gibson.
Yeah, so this is what I really like more than anything, I guess.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, this is my baby. I've had her for a couple years now.
Also running the Lace sensors.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled across them and got these guys into them. So if they told you that they figured them out first, it wasn't. That's not true.
That was not the case. Though.
No, but I run Lace dropping gains just like them. I find that there's a little more clarity in these than the EMG pickups. They're not as muddy, and it's way less hiss. So when I'm having to stop all the time. So it definitely helps in that category for sure. But I basically had this black Gibson Explorer for a long time, and it was run over on the freeway.
Damn, out of the trailer?
Out of the trailer.
Bummer.
And I wish I had it with me. It's back in working order and I played.
Oh, you had it repaired?
Yeah, it's crazy. It was broken in four places, so.
The neck?
It was broken here, 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 and here.
And he
fixed it. Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. I wish I had it with me, but I don't. I have this other one, but.
It's not buzzy or anything?
No, it's incredible.
Wow.
It's like a horse, man.
That's crazy.
And I just brought this, I brought the other one with me this time because it was newer, but yeah, this thing's great, man. It's like old reliable. This is like kind of a dream guitar for me. I always wanted the Carina, and Carinas are like, $10,000 or
expensive,
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I like the natural a lot. I thought it was the closest thing I could get. Threw a black pickguard on. I had a white one, but
I think it looks good with the black.
It just plays really fast, man. Mm-hmm. And I've always, ever since I've been doing an Explorer body, I can't really play anything else.
Yeah.
So.
I've noticed as far as offset guitars go, like Blake obviously has some crazy shapes, but I can never practice with them because they, where do you put it unless you're playing like classical?
I know, yeah.
But this is normal. It almost feels like
a it's kind of just a classic feel, I mean, watch James Hetfield, back in the day and he still plays these sometimes. So I don't know, man.
He's with ESP now, right?
Yeah. I'm actually about to get the 84 reissue that Gibson did of the white Explorer.
That's
so
cool.
I don't know, I'm gonna collect them all or something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
but Pokemon,
this thing's great, man. So
yeah, it's beautiful. Thanks. Yeah, stop tail bridge kind of does the trick, huh?
Yeah, it's just simple. Cool. It's very simple. I'm a simple guy, man. Just play.
I appreciate
turn
that.
It on and play and then turn it off and go home, you know.
The rules.
I don't know. And then, you know, if you don't like it, I don't really care. Yeah,
who cares?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, right on, man, Nick. This has been a pleasure. I'm so excited to see you guys rip on tonight.
Dude, yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks a lot.
This is Perry with Premier Guitar, another Rig Rundown.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.